Season 3, Episode 4, Heaven Can Wait. It opens up with Sylvia vomiting.
Heaven.
No, it's Heaven, because he uses the word Heaven in the episode.
The Joker.
You're the joke. So the point is this. Starts, Sipowicz is about to go to work, and Sylvia is throwing up because she's pregnant. In case you didn't know, Sylvia's pregnant. And eventually Sipowicz does leave. The funny line being there, I made the bed, when it looks like he just threw the blanket on top of the bed.
Doing minimalist possible, just like a man.
So Martinez walks into the precinct and then bites Lesniak's head off for like nothing. I don't even remember the exchange.
But yeah, I don't either, but he was a dick. I think because he's got his feelings hurt.
Well, because she says something like, oh, back on your feet. And he's like, yeah, I'd appreciate it. People just stop talking about it and just let me be. And it was like, okay. And then he tells the desk sergeant Lesniak is gay. And the desk sergeant, like, blows his own brains out. Then we cut back upstairs in the precinct, and Sipowicz finds out that Russell called Simone when she had drinks, and not him.
Yeah, and Sipowicz is pissed.
Super, super duper pissed. He turns into full-on bitch mode. And what stops that fight from happening is they get a homicide and Sipowicz just grabs it and gets the fuck out of there.
Yeah, because it's a little kid, right?
Yeah, that's after the opening credits and theme song. Also, it's important to note that this episode will feature our only guest contributor to speak on the show. Papa Asher is here.
Hello, everybody.
Is he gonna...
He just tried to speak right now and you spoke over him.
Hello.
Go.
This is going to be awesome. And now I'm playing the theme song.
Welcome to NYPD Blue Balls, where the Asher Brothers talk about every single episode of the best show ever, NYPD Blue.
The homicide is two kids and a woman who jumped out the building and was shot at as she was going down. It's a pretty dark scene because it looks like one of the kids is a couple of weeks old and the other kid is like 7 weeks,
as a matter of fact.
7 weeks?
Yeah. And they shot them and then she bailed, right?
Yeah, they find out later, like the story goes that, because she's in the hospital, she's gonna live, and she identifies her next door neighbor and her boyfriend and two guys came into her house to rob them and then shot her kids to find out where all the money was. The more important thing about this case is that Sipowicz is, like, in straight bitch mode.
Yes, he's very angry.
Very angry and very aggressive to everyone, including the woman who just lost two children and jumped out of a window and was shot on the way down.
Mm-hmm.
At one point, Simone kind of goes, hey, do you want to do this? And Sipowicz basically says, don't tell me how to work my case. I'll work my case how I want to. And it's kind of dark for both of them, because I don't know how they're going to solve it when they're acting like this.
He's being very, very mature about the whole thing.
Simone is?
Sipowicz.
Oh, that was sarcasm.
Yes, it was.
So people don't have the right to be upset?
Well, if it doesn't affect your work.
He's got two things going on.
Well, he has three, actually. He has three things going on.
Right, so I mean, he's got a rough day going. Understandable.
Okay, but if you have a rough day, you don't then take it out on a woman who lost two of her kids and is now in the hospital getting a CAT scan because she jumped out of a window while being shot at. That seems like a bad target to go after. You can yell at
them. Yeah, I don't think Russell calling Simone because she was drinking warrants his outrage or warrants his reaction towards the lady who got shot. Yeah, she's a scumbag, but he should have kept his composure together. It's his job, and I don't think that situation is that big of a deal. Like, he should be pissed, but he shouldn't be, like, basically, like, sobbing the whole time and, like, angry and want to yell at him. Like, he should just get over it.
His wife is sick and doing something that his first wife didn't do when they were pregnant.
We find that out.
So he doesn't understand what's going on there. Then she called Sipowicz.
She called Simone.
Simone instead of him. And, you know, I think he looks at himself as, like, the savior guy for her. Hey, I've been through this and I can help her. And so he was not mad, but he was hurt that she chose not to call him, but to call somebody else. And Sipowicz doesn't deal well when little kids get messed with. that sends him over the edge anyway. So him yelling at the mother, it's not like he was yelling at the mother. That was just like his emotions. He's wearing them on his cuff right now.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you that it is he's having a bad morning, and I even said it when we were watching it. Like, he's having a bad morning. But because later in the episode, as the episode continues, they go over to the next door neighbor, and it's like a Haitian woman who also practices like Santeria or some shit.
Yeah.
And he's like, it's all this voodoo shit that you got going on in your house. Like, he doesn't need to talk to her like that. Like,
he says shit like that on an everyday basis.
Well, he doesn't
now,
say
now,
he
he's got three things going on that aren't sitting well.
And, I mean, there's a good point that Simone makes later when they have their heart-to-heart, which is a really good scene, where he's like, hey, man, I had to look at those kids, too. Yeah. Like he's dealing with the same emotions that...
People deal with stuff differently.
I feel like you would defend Sipowicz no matter what happens, even if he's
probably
in the wrong. But he's been in the wrong. We can agree to that.
Yeah, but I don't think he's that wrong. I don't think he's as wrong as you guys are saying right here.
It's pretty wrong to...
He's racist. He's been wrong for a while.
He's not racist.
He's a little racist. I mean, we could start...
He may be evolving and changing, but he was racist for a while.
Yeah, he was pretty racist.
Nope.
He, like, look, what that episode we did earlier where a woman was shot in a Colombian restaurant. So then he brought the owner of the restaurant and he's like, so you do drugs? You deal with drugs? And he's like, what? So I'm a Colombian, so I have to deal with drugs? And he says, turns out it had nothing to do with that. It was a crazy white guy.
That's what he's used to dealing with, you know, professional profiling.
Okay. Anyways, we're getting off topic.
In this sister's house, she's like called Sister Cecilia, and everybody calls her Sister Cecilia. And she has a daughter that was affectionately referred to as that bitch Chantal from the woman who was shot. And I mean, there is a point to be made, if you're so inclined, that the woman watched her kids die because she didn't give up where more money was, which is pretty terrible, and then jumps out the window herself and has to live with that forever is pretty terrible.
But she says she didn't know where the money was.
But they did find it.
They found it, but that doesn't mean she knew where it was.
I guess it's possible. I need to rewatch the episode again. I felt like the implication was she knew where it was, but she didn't.
I don't think she did.
Do you think she did, Kyle?
Repeat it. I'm listening, but you guys arguing made me lose it.
The woman when she's in the hospital getting a CAT scan, the reason Sipowicz goes off is because she watched her two kids die because they wanted more money and she wouldn't give it up. I'm asserting that she knew that there was more money and where it possibly was.
100% knew there was more money. Because I think in that scene when Sipowicz goes off, Sipowicz reads her and and feels that she did it because there was more money. And she didn't think that they would kill the kids, so she bailed.
As we go through the episode, we find out more,
later on
about the story.
When you talk to the other guy, you find out when they get more suspects, they talk more, blah, blah, blah. One guy says, oh, so-and-so loses it. He just goes crazy. I didn't think he was going to do that either. When they talk about what happened to the kid. So I think, no one really thought the guy was going to do it.
What happens is later, Mr. Billings comes in, a gentleman, and he says, and this guy doesn't talk to Sipowicz until the very end. Simone actually talks to him, and he finds out that his, Mr. Billings' nephew, went on a robbery and is really broken up because two kids died. So they're like, okay, well, where's your nephew live? And he's like, I don't want to get him in trouble. I don't want him to be in trouble. I don't want him to get hurt. And then Sipowicz comes out of the bathroom and then straight yells at him, give us an address. And and almost loses that witness by being that aggressive. They get the address and they go to pick up the guy. And the guy is there with his buddy. And they find him in the closet. And him and Simone have a fight while apprehending the suspects.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Sipowicz literally starts yelling at Simone and vice versa when he's holding that guy's neck.
Yeah. And he keeps saying, don't tell me how to do my job.
And the guy says, I was only here for a book. And Sipwood says, oh yeah, you're in some kind of book club. And where's all this money from? And then the other guy's like, I don't know where any, I don't have anything to do with this money. And then he's like, shut up. And then they interview them separately. And Simone does a pretty good job. And Sipowicz kind of just lets the rage flow a little bit.
Yeah.
On his guy. I'm still kind of surprised that you don't think he's out of line in any of this.
He's having a bad day, man. It happens.
Okay. But if you're a police officer and you're dealing with victims of homicide, you gotta rein that back a little bit. Just a little bit.
Did it work out in the end?
It's also a TV show. This isn't...
Then there was no reason to rein it back. He was having a rough day, man. Everybody does.
Yeah, but you can still be in the wrong.
Yeah, you can be in the wrong while having a rough day.
Right? But, I mean, he doesn't like when kids get, you know, hurt or killed or molested or whatever. That really affects him.
Those two guys give up a driver, a lady driver, who was paid just to drive Chantel and her boyfriend Raul, I think his name is.
Raul
Calderon. And they're married and she's 17. So they went to somewhere in Brooklyn. That's where they stashed the guns, I guess.
Isn't that where they were just hiding out, period?
Yeah, they were hiding out in Brooklyn in an abandoned building.
Yeah.
And they stashed the guns, like, just in some weeds under a bridge. And they hassled... That was another thing that was weird. Medavoy and James, like, hassle a bunch of homeless dudes for no reason.
They were looking for the gun. There was a reason.
But, like, they, like, pulled them out of their homes. They pulled them out of where they were. And they start, like, digging through their shit. And then another cop goes, hey, I found a gun over here, yeah, which was yards away.
Overall, they found the gun too easy.
We don't know how long they were out.
That was an error in the script.
That was an error in the script, was it? So. You don't know how long they were out there.
Not that long.
How do you know? There's no mention of time. They could have been there for like...
All you have to do is watch, man. They went out there, they hassled the people. The time where they were hassling the people, the guy found the gun.
I mean, they did find the gun fairly quickly, but...
Exactly. Too quickly.
They bring in the woman that was the driver, and she's a total bitch from like moment one. To everybody in the police station until they let her know, we know that you drove a couple people who murdered some kids.
Wait, isn't she like Mama something or Sister Who's a Who or something like that?
No, the driver was named Denise.
Oh, who was Sister Cecilia?
Sister Cecilia was the mother of the woman that did the crime with Raul.
Yeah,
Sister Cecilia was the one that was super... This is why I think you're in the wrong about Sibwas. She was super helpful, even though her daughter was the one that committed the crime, until Sipowicz got all lippy with her, and then she was like, I don't want to deal with you guys anymore.
Oh, 100%. He did, like she was being nothing but helpful, and Sipowicz is basically like, everything really is fucking garbage. You believe in voodoo shit, bitch. And she was like, what the fuck, I'm helping you guys.
So that's why it was kind of out of line. And after they get Denise and they figure out where they went, they only pick up Raul, who is a famous face. Raymond Cruz, who was in Breaking Bad as Tuco.
Tuco!
He was also in Training Day and a bunch of other movies.
He was in the first two episodes of Better Call Saul. He's really good in it.
He has a very small role in a movie called Gremlins 2 The New Batch, if anyone's interested in watching that lovely piece of film.
I haven't seen that movie in a while. I'd have to go back to catch his cameo.
Any movie where the movie reel starts to disintegrate and then Hulk Hogan threatens the gremlins and then the movie starts up again. That's a good movie. But they find Tuco in this place and they find some of the money, but no Chantal. And Sipowicz gets even more upset with him because he makes the point, now I have to spend the night with you instead of hanging out with my wife.
And he's not happy.
And during that time, they get a call from Sister Cecilia, and Simone talks to her, and they find out that she was asking her for money and was going to meet her at a department store when the policewoman picked up Sister Cecilia, and they go bust her with the detectives.
So then when they're busting her, doesn't she call her mom like a voodoo bitch or something like that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she said, crap, I didn't write it down, but she calls her a voodoo bitch. She, like, says, that moment made me feel really weird because she said things that I was like, wow, that's really terrible thing to say about your mom, who, for all intents and purposes, was pretty cool to you up until now when you murdered children. I don't know why.
You know how New York people are, man.
Oh, New York people? That's how New York people are?
Yeah. That's how New Yorkers do it.
That's gotta love New York. That's how
it is. But you skip right over a really good part.
What is that?
When they bring that dude in, Cuco or whatever.
Tuco.
And they're
interview was really
interrogating
good.
Him.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he did his hair like that. And Sipowicz says, you cut your hair like that to blend in? Because it was blonde and like...
It's stupid.
Just kind of sticking straight up. And
That was a great interview because then he's like, what were you going to do? He's like, going to get some money and then get out of town? He's like, why didn't you just get on a plane? He's like, oh, come on, I would have never gotten out of the country. And I was like...
Yeah, he keeps trying to prove to Sipowicz how smart he is. And Sipowicz is acting like, you're an idiot.
And then he said, Sipowicz, in one of his like super angry moments, says, you're either the dumbest man or the most evil man to kill children that live next door to you. It was a good
interview. Yeah, it was really good.
It was a good interview and a very angry one. Especially when he does that thing where some of the really dumb criminals do in the show, where he's like, I don't know what happened. Like, maybe the gun just went off in my hand. Which is like, what?
Giving him an out, man.
You can't have that excuse when it comes to, like, kids.
The gun just went off.
The first thing he wants to do is get him to admit that he did it. And by saying, hey, the gun went off, they can say, yeah, he did. And then they can work on getting the truth out of him.
And what's really cool, especially with all of the interrogations with the two guys that they get at first, then Denise, then at Raul. Once they mention, by the way, you know that woman lived, right? And they all realize, oh, shit, that woman watched us do this. Like, then everything falls apart where they say, oh, it was all this guy. Like, I wasn't going to do it. Like, the interview with the one character, I think his name was Arthur, when Sipowicz was, like, going really hard at him, and Arthur's like, look, I didn't do it because he was going crazy and telling me to, and I was like, I'm not going to shoot kids. So then he did it. Like, that was, like, a really good acting scene with this the guy for a one-off.
I agree.
He agrees. The other...
K. Todd Freeman was Arthur.
K. Todd Freeman?
Yeah, he comes back in another episode.
As Arthur or a different dude, you know?
As Arthur, I think. Because I think... I'm trying to remember. I think it's in this season. Because I think that, like, after something happens, there's a scene where Andy and Simone see... I mean, they're like, hey, that's Arthur. I wonder what he's doing around here. And because, like, something... I just can't put the episode together, but I know it's going to come up. Anyways, moving on.
Which is fine, because there's over 250. It can't be easy to remember them. The other thing that's going on that's kind of, like, stupid, that's a running thing through the show, it's just getting around that Lesniak's a lesbian.
Well, that goes on in the workplace.
But it's like, it was kind of dumb, because it's like, she walks in, and then the desk sergeant, like, in theory, the desk sergeant is supposed to be, like, a pretty important guy. Like, it seems like he's a pretty, like, head cheese type dude, and he just goes up to another uniformed police officer and goes, lesbo. Like, what? Like, boy, total lesbo. And then the guy goes, Lesnia?
This is totally written by a dude.
That's another thing where it was a different time.
Much different time.
And you have to adjust for cultural inflation, but it's still, like, very weird that a guy would just... It would just go up to another guy and go, that one, total lesbo. That's not how you distribute sensitive information.
Total poundstone.
Total poundstone. That's related to the joke he made earlier that you're going to find hilarious when you listen.
I don't think it's kind of funny at all.
Oh, the whole thing with Sylvia kind of boils over terribly because she's throwing up at the precinct. And
I think that scene's funny because you hear a wretch and then doesn't he go, Sylvia's here?
Yeah, he recognizes the vomiting as Sylvia.
I thought that was funny.
And then they have a full fight because he's like, you need to go home and you need to rest. And then she, and all, you figure Sipowicz married this woman. He knows how she is. He knows that's not going to work.
Yeah.
Sylvia's hard-nosed.
Also, Andy was drunk the last time. Andy was, like, hammered the whole time, or not even around, right? Wasn't he, like... his kid,
Andy Jr.
Andy Jr. Simmons is hammered the whole time. He doesn't really know what his wife's going through. Mm-hmm. He doesn't know that this is, like, something.
That's what made that heart-to-heart when Sipowicz and Simone sit down, and Simone says, look, man, it's hard. Sylvia's sick. And then Simone goes, yeah, that passes, homie. And yeah. He's like, oh, it was never like this. And then he even says, well, I was drunk the whole time. He says, I may not remember.
And the whole point.
But he's also worried. He's more worried now that he's not drunk all the time.
The whole point is just to show that he's a caring individual.
If he's a caring individual, he wouldn't yell at a woman whose kids just died. Oh, fuck. That's not a reasonable explanation. He cares about his wife, but he doesn't care about a woman whose children have passed. Also, that old woman. I forgot to mention. The old woman in front of the building that witnessed it.
Mm-hmm.
He says to her, oh, yeah, like, they aren't drug dealers? And she's like, I don't know that they're drug dealers. She's like, driving around a Rolls Royce, living. You think he wants to live in this neighborhood? And she's like, he doesn't drive a Rolls Royce. And it was like, why the fuck are you hassling this old lady? Like, what? She's the only witness to your case. There's no reason to do that. And then...
He's emotional.
And I get it. And I get it. Where he thinks something's really wrong with Sylvia, the kids, the whole thing with Russell... But then when he has the heart-to-heart, and Simone's like, yeah, that'll pass, and he goes, oh yeah, I don't really remember what it was like when my wife was pregnant. Like, he couldn't have come up with that earlier when he was yelling at people who had nothing to do with it?
You missed the whole point.
I missed the whole point.
Yep.
I missed the whole point. That's what's happening.
That whole speech with Simone and Sipowicz was supposed to show that they have a positive effect on one another.
Well, yeah, I don't
disagree
with that.
They can get through that, and now, you know, he gets them straightened out. But they hadn't had that discussion yet.
Because Sipowicz was a little too hot-headed. Because
that's normal life, and usually you don't, when you get upset, have a discussion 2 seconds later. I'm pissed, okay, let's talk. No.
No.
You get pissed, then eventually you get to the talking.
I understand
that.
That's
what they
did. I understand that completely. Let's have that discussion now. I understand that completely. However... when your job involves maybe shooting people, you want to deal with those anger problems before you go into work.
It wasn't anger problems.
It seems like anger problems.
It's frustration.
When you're yelling at witnesses.
See, that's the thing.
Oh, that's the thing? Okay.
I'm going to tell you something about you that you don't know.
No, Dad, please explain. I get what you're saying.
He's just frustrated. He's got some stuff's going on. He's frustrated. He's venting.
Oh, I agree.
He doesn't deal with... He's Sipowicz, man. He doesn't deal with emotion well.
Okay, I agree.
You've seen that through the whole thing.
The whole show.
The whole show. So it's like, you know, he's just being him.
And I agree with you.
And there's no, like, harm intended to anybody. He doesn't deal with emotions well.
But he does cause harm.
Which is why he drank before.
He does cause harm.
And he didn't cause any harm.
It also doesn't help this... It also doesn't help your case that he snaps at literally only black characters throughout this entire episode. Like, there wasn't a single white person that he was like, yeah, you know what, you're a piece of shit.
Was there a single white person in it? That he
snapped at minorities.
Because he did snap at Tuco, who was Puerto Rican.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
He's not selective.
He's an equal opportunity guy. He was even getting mad at, whatever.
His
chick that was drinking.
His yelling as a really good affirmative action program is what you're saying?
You guys misunderstand.
Okay. I get it. He, like, one of the big cruxes of the show is he's an old school cop dealing with 90s problems.
There you go.
But the 90s is even 20 years ago. So, like, shit's still a little weird.
Yeah.
And the thing that I find hilarious about this is our miscommunication is, hey, he's having a bad day. But Sipowicz isn't Dilbert. Sipowicz is a homicide detective. He's not a dude that, like, does data entry. He's a guy that has to interview. and lock up criminals.
So you can't have a bad day if that's your job.
Not if it can get someone killed.
Did anybody get killed?
Two children, but that was before.
He has, you know, it doesn't become uncontrollable.
It has. It
will.
Did he shoot anybody?
No, but he's...
Yes.
No, he didn't. See, shut up.
Debatable.
The what?
Debatable.
Debatable.
We'll get to it later.
I understand. He's a kindred spirit, and we appreciate Sipowicz. He's one of the best written characters on television.
Absolutely.
It's just you can't be on his side when he goes kind of apeshit on witnesses, and especially when during that discussion,
did he rough anybody up?
He did. He held one dude by the neck and the back of his skull while yelling at Sipowicz, or Simone. He was yelling at
them. They were arresting them.
They weren't doing anything.
They also beating the shit out of those two guys in the alley the episode before.
He didn't rough anybody up unnecessarily.
Okay, let's move past it because we disagree.
Okay.
The point I'm also making is during that come together scene, that summit in the locker room, he admits, okay, I'm a little angry about three things. One of them, Sylvia's sick. Simone goes, hey, that happens. And he goes, it never happened with my wife. And then goes, wait, I don't remember my wife's pregnancy.
Right.
So he realizes I'm overreacting there. Then when he talks to Russell and he realizes, okay, she stopped drinking. When they're taking the two perps up the stairs, they have an argument about it on the stairs where he's like, look, after she called me, I said, did you talk to Sipowicz? She said no. And I was like, fine, you better talk to him in the morning and get it cleared up. And then he goes, okay, so at least they got that covered. So he shouldn't be mad about that anymore. Then the third thing with the kids, they're working on the case and they're getting the right information. The problem is, he's fucking up all the witnesses. He realizes at that point, I'm wrong on all three counts. And then Simone, he has a moment of like, hey, that's not going to cut it, dude. That's my favorite part of that scene. He goes, that's not going to cut it, Andy. I saw those kids too. I'm dealing with this shit just as much as you are.
Yeah, but again,
I wasn't a bitch all day.
Simone is on a whole different level when it comes to emotional maturity.
Yeah, that's true. He watched his wife die.
Right? I mean, yeah. Not that that's easy. Not seeing kids shot is going to be easy for anybody, but he's in a whole different place. And if he I don't know.
Keep going.
Because Simone says, oh, you know, I told her to call you in the morning, doesn't mean, okay, that should be good now.
It's Simon says, guys.
He worries about her, man.
But
he knows what he went through. He doesn't want her to deal with that.
He also doesn't want... I mean, we could have this debate, but that'll be another 40 minutes. I'm also thinking he doesn't want his partner wrapped up with someone who's going through it. Not just...
I don't think that at all.
I think that's part of it.
I don't think that's...
Yeah, I think so. I kind of agree because why that, like, because it was like Simone's idea or Sipowicz's idea to not have Diane talk to him while she was going through like the process and going to AA.
Mm-hmm.
Andy was never really for them hanging out alone. Andy wanted them to have dinner together as like in a group setting where like she can get more comfortable and like lean into it, and they dove right into it.
They dove, but. But I agree with you that he wants them to take this seriously. Because he said in that argument, okay, so she has one drink and you let that slip, then they have another. And you gotta be
on... He knows what it's all about.
You gotta be on top of it. And then that's when Simone says, we are on top of it. I told her to talk to you immediately after it happened. And from what I heard, she did do that. If she didn't, then you have a problem with her, not me. So I think... He realizes slowly, okay, I'm in the wrong, but then Simone gets to go, by the way, I'm dealing with the same shit you are. We just had a really fucked up case, but you didn't even give two shits about that.
Ever had a situation where you get mad at two people because you think they did something that they didn't really do?
Yeah.
Yeah. So in his mind, he's got that they've got some sort of agreement or whatever that, hey, we're not going to, you know, we don't need him to deal with this. I think there's some of that in there.
And once he found out that that wasn't the case, he simmered
just
down.
Just because somebody says, hey, that's not the case, doesn't always make you feel perfect immediately. You still have to get it and process it and decide whether they're, you know, being honest or not.
And
those are too hard on Sipowicz, man.
We're too hard. And at the end of it, when he talks to Russell and he like clears the air about what happened, he even said, also make time for him.
Yeah.
Which was a cool thing to do.
Right. Because he's a cool guy.
I don't
got a super heart, man.
I don't disagree with you. I think he just went a little overboard.
Right.
The episode ends with Sylvia feeling better. And before that you have a scene with
and them getting a little nasty going on.
They weren't getting they were eating fruit.
Nah. You know what eating fruit leads to.
You know what, yeah, fruit. Eating fruit leads to
from behind. Okay. Eating a little fruit. She's feeling good now. She's not throwing up.
You're our father. Think about that before you finish the sentence.
I'm just saying, man.
She's also pregnant.
She's also pregnant. You don't want the kid seeing your donger. Also, before that scene...
Hitting your kid in the forehead.
before that scene, there's a moment where Bobby is hanging out with his birds, checking out his pigeons, and Russell comes up, and he says to her, "Just looking at my birds, Diane." I would take that to mean leave me alone, but she stays up there, and then he holds her hand, and then they watch the birds. Did I just misinterpret that scene completely?
You misinterpreted.
No, I think she was coming up there to talk, but instead of talking, she stood next to him and just stayed silent. Because I think he's thinking. So she was like, fine. And so she just went, and I think she's just showing that she wants to be with them.
Right. Even if they're not talking, she wants to be in there in his presence.
Yeah.
Okay.
You are right.
I just misinterpreted.
Right. He's saying go away. He's basically saying go away. This is where I come to think and be by myself. And she's like, well, I want to be with you. And then he's like, okay, fine, stay. But they don't say anything to each other.
All right. When I saw that scene, I was like, okay, well, then she's going to walk away. And she doesn't. And I was like, what are you doing? He said he's looking at his birds.
No, because she knows that he's hurting from what went on. And she's going to, you know, give him some support.
True. So it's a good episode. I mean, it sparked a lively discussion.
Yeah, it's one, you know, I was thinking about it, like, it's every once in a while they have these episodes that just kind of, like, from beginning to end, just kind of have a certain pace, check off the boxes, you know, boom, got the guy at the end. Most other ones, they have two or three crimes going on, they got two or three stories.
Oh, this one is just one. Out.
Sometimes they catch them, sometimes they don't. Yeah, this was a pretty straightforward, by-the-book kind of show, I think.
He said, doesn't say so himself.
He said, if you don't say so, if he doesn't say so himself.
I'm probably wrong then.
Woe is me.
I was trying to think of the thing I was going to say, and now I lost it after that passive aggression. Oh, it has one of those scenes that sometimes NYPD Blue does where, like, the sound drops out, and then it's just them doing action. They do it in the abandoned room, or abandoned house, where, like, it's just music, 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 and then they show people dragging them out and pointing them, and they're pointing, and then they get to the room, and then suddenly the audio comes back in, and like, that's an NYPD Blue.
But they look like a long exposure photo. Like, when they move, it shows, like they have, like, a Tron-like laser beam that follows them, but sort of, like, shadow and shit.
It's true. This episode kind of has a little bit of everything that makes NYPD Blue good, where it's, like, hard-hitting, dark shit. Also, like, a random action sequence. Sipowicz saying very inappropriate mean things, or funny mean appropriate things. And twists and turns. It's pretty much a whole.
You know what you didn't get, Eddie?
What?
Side boob.
He didn't get any side boob or ass, like last episode. Which is fine. You know, you can't overdo the ass. Or side boob. Then you get banned from being played in Texas. Is there anything else anybody
else? Fired on Texas.
Well, no, they actually banned the show from being played on NBC when it first came out. That was a legitimate joke.
No, and can't play that Harry Potter's either.
Nope, because, Kyle, Harry Potter is anti-biblical.
No, Kirk, I don't read Harry Potter because I don't believe in witches. That's what I was told. And I said, well, it's a work of fiction, so you don't have to believe it.
Do you have anything else to say, Kyle, while we got you?
No, I got nothing else.
All righty. Do you have anything?
Nothing else.
Bob Asher? All righty. Well, every episode of NYPD Blue Balls is on AsherBrothersPodcast.com, iTunes, Stitcher, and where you find a podcast. As of right now, when we recorded it, Hulu is not streaming NYPD Blue, but they said they will at some point. Hopefully that is soon. Maybe when the episode comes up, it will be, but who knows?
Doubt it.
I doubt it, too. Have a good one.
Thank you for listening to NYPD Blue Balls. This is Kirk editing the show and putting it up. And as of the day before this episode comes out, October 2nd, NYPD Blue is not on Hulu. We wait with bated breath to see that glorious show on Hulu so we can binge like we binge our other favorites. I don't know if Hulu realizes how much free advertisement they're getting with our show and how much more free advertisement they would get if they just put the blue up for us to watch. Anyway, the show's on AsherBrothersPodcast.com. It's on iTunes. It's on Stitcher. Thank you for listening. We got old Asher Brothers Podcast up there, too. Also, go to Mixed Bag of Hats if you want to hear something different. Be good to yourself and be good to each other. Have a good one.